From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Tony Cox. A man in Florida has been arrested for making death threats against Barack Obama. Are the Clintons back in the party fold? And Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick may be out of jail, but not out of hot water, as new assault charges are filed against him. For more on the news of the week, we have our Reporters Roundtable with Eric Deggans, a media critic for the St. Petersburg Times, and Michelle McCollop, a freelance writer based in Beaumont, Texas. Eric, Michelle, nice to have you with us.
Thanks. Thank you for having us.
Let's start with this. The Secret Service arrested a man in Florida yesterday for allegedly saying he wanted to assassinate Barack Obama. A federal magistrate ordered that 22-year-old Raymond Geisel be held in a Miami detention center without bail. A loaded handgun, knives, and ammunition were reportedly found in his car as well as in his hotel room. For his part, Geisel says he was just joking. So, Michelle, this is exactly what a lot of folks, especially black folks, have been fearing. This is the first, at least, that we have heard about. Do you think we'll have more?
I certainly think that we do. In fact, that's probably one of the reasons he has Secret Service protection, because of death threats. And this is the first one that's been made public. It's unfortunate that we live in the world, in a crazy world. We have people like this guy who just wants to harm Barack just because of the color of his skin. But I'm sure that he and his family considered the risk when they considered running for the highest office in the land. So it's just an unfortunate part of it, and sort of part of the cost of doing business or running for a high-profile office.
This particular person also said that he wouldn't mind taking a shot or two at the president of the United States. Eric, do you think that Barack is going to face more of this than other candidates? And if he becomes president, do you think that he'll continue to face this?
Well, you know, it's so funny. I mean, to me, this story proves a couple of things. Number one, everything happens in Florida. I mean, you know, every time we turn around, there's some, you know, incredible story from the 9/11 hijackings to, you know, the Macarena that's based here. But the other thing that strikes me is that this story may say more about our fears for Barack than the threat he actually faces. We don't really know what kind of threats other candidates have faced, because the Secret Service doesn't make the details of those things public very often. We do know that Barack received Secret Service protection before any other candidate. And so that, you know, I think sometime in September of last year, they'd already started Secret Service protection for him. And so presumably there were already threats made then. But I think this is a lot more about our fear that a black man who's gotten this close to the presidency might be cut down before he actually ascends there, or after he ascends there, and what that will mean for the country. Because there's always some wacko out there who's going to want to do something like this to someone famous. Yeah.
All right, let's move on to another campaign topic actually involving Florida. Or Eric, Obama now wants a full vote for Florida and Michigan's delegates.
You remember? What did I say?
Yeah. You did just say that. During the Democratic primaries, to remind our listeners, both Florida and Michigan delegates were given a half vote because those states violated Democratic rules about holding their primaries. Hillary Clinton's campaign wanted the states to get the full vote. Obama didn't. Now he does. So, Eric, how do you see this change in his position?
Well, I mean, it makes sense. He's already got the nomination. The only reason I think he held back on this position was because he didn't want to give Hillary Clinton any more ammunition to claim that she should still be running in the primary. So once that was resolved, it makes a lot of sense that he would try and kiss and make up with Florida voters by insisting that their delegation be seated. He's been here in Florida quite a bit. He was just here in St. Petersburg last week. So he's got a lot of work to do. You know, he faces an uphill battle, both because the demographic composition of Florida is going to be difficult for him, but also because I think the Democrats handled this badly. The Republicans, they delivered a slap on the wrist to their party, but they allowed them to seat half their delegates so that the original primary counted for them. And the Democrats took a hard line and wound up, I think, helping to delay the primary process and throwing everything into a tizzy. Certainly, Hillary Clinton can't be happy that a state she did so well in was so controversial for so long.
Well, speaking of kissing and making up, Michelle, there are new reports saying that former President Bill Clinton is now scheduled to speak at the Democratic National Convention. Hillary is also on the schedule to speak. Does this show that the party may be healing, even though there's talk about her delegates pushing for a floor vote?
I think so. I think that Barack's mission is to unite the party, and that's what everybody's talking about, and that's what everybody wants to say and wants to do. And I think it's part of the healing process. It's been a very difficult primary, a very ugly primary. And right now it's just important that everybody comes together and put on one happy face.
So don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype.
Well, at least publicly, let's just say that.
Well, on the other side of the aisle, Vice President Dick Cheney is also confirmed now to participate at the Republican National Convention. And just a week ago, if that far back, there was talk that he wasn't even going to be there. Are they trying to do the same thing, unite by having Cheney there, Eric?
Well, I think they knew that having Dick Cheney not be a part of the convention would be a huge story point and that lots of people would focus on it. And once it became obvious, I think, that that would hurt the party, they figured out a way to make room for him. But, you know, what's interesting to me about this is the most settled conventions that I can ever remember. I mean, we have people who are presumptive nominees, but in Obama's case, the role of the Clintons is going to be a continuing thorn in his side, and we didn't have some kind of resolution on what was going to happen with their speaking arrangements until Hillary Clinton went out there and there was a sense that there might be a voice vote, which Obama does not want. There's still talk that there's going to be some kind of parade of her supporters on, I think, Tuesday during the convention, which also Obama doesn't want and the party doesn't want. So the Clintons are flexing their muscle because they want to make sure they have influence in this new Obama-led party. And, you know, McCain has to deal with how close to the Bush administration does he get and how bad does it look if he distances himself from the president and the vice president in the middle of a tough election battle.
Well, talking again about how bad things are looking, you're providing me with wonderful segues today, Eric, and
no
I really
problem,
appreciate
man.
It.
That's my job.
Let's go to Detroit. Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick cannot seem to stay out of trouble. Yesterday, he was sent to jail for violating his bond, spent the night in the Huskow. This morning, he was charged on 2 counts of assault on police officers. Those are felony counts. And he has been ordered to wear a new sort of bling-bling, a court-ordered accessory, a GPS tether. Do you think, Michelle, there's any way for the mayor to recover his reputation?
I think it's an uphill battle for him. I really do. And I'm not defending him in any way. I think he's certainly made some poor choices. But I think in these two cases, this recent case where he was ordered to jail, I think that was unfair and harsh. For one, he was in Canada on business, on city business. And so I think he could have gotten a break there. And they're essentially putting him on house arrest when he hasn't been convicted of any of these crimes. And we do live in a country where you're presumed innocent until found guilty, and I think that these rulings are restricting his duties as a mayor. And until otherwise, he is still the mayor of Detroit, and he should be allowed to lead the state if he's going on official business, and he certainly should be allowed to go to the Democratic National Convention, and I think that the punishment is just unfair in this case.
Let me get your opinion, Eric, but before you offer it, let me just say in response to Michelle, I believe he wasn't prevented from going any of those places. He just had to make a phone call before he left, and he didn't do that, and I think that's what got him in hot water with the judge. What do you say, Eric?
Right.
Yeah, you know, well, first of all, I got to say the thing that surprises me most is that he didn't go to Florida instead of Canada. I was really expecting, you know, that to be part of the story. But, you know, in all seriousness, Kwame has exhausted his credibility with everyone, with the court, with the police, with the people of Detroit. And when you are an important politician, sort of in the fight of your life for your career, the last thing you need to be doing is violating your parole. I think he must believe that he's going to pull some kind of some kind of miracle out of his back pocket and get reelected in the way that we've seen some other disgraced leaders reelected, including the mayor of Washington D.C. But I just don't see it here. You know, your own. I mean, we have heard some coverage on NPR of citizens of Detroit, and they seem fed up. And I think more than anything, the court seems to have lost its patience with a chief executive who should know better. And maybe this is on the harsher end of the punishment spectrum, but he should know better. And if all it took was a phone call, then certainly he deserves to be reminded that it's time to make those phone calls.
But in this new ruling, Tony, it does prohibit him from going to the convention and going out of the state.
The new ruling certainly does do that. We're just about out of time, but I want to ask one other question. We're outside of Detroit, all of us not being there, so that we have an outsider's view. But what would you say Kwame Kilpatrick should do now, Eric?
Well, obviously he should step down. I think not just for this latest skirmish, which is a relatively minor, but for the long string. I mean, he has obviously lied to the people of Detroit. He denied having an affair with a woman that he clearly was having an affair with. He got busted by both law enforcement and the local newspapers. And I think it's reached a point where he needs to spare the community any more pain and step down at the very least until... he even went to the point of appointing as his deputy mayor somebody who has little or no experience in government. He doesn't seem to be trying at all to make any accommodations for the fact that people have lost confidence in him, and that, more than anything, indicates that maybe it's time for him to leave.
I disagree. I think that he should continue to be in that office. We have congressmen who've made poor choices than him who are still allowed to serve out their term. So I think that he should be allowed to serve out his term, and whatever happens at the end of that term happens.
I appreciate
it. Again, the guy hasn't been convicted of a crime yet.
We have to stop right there. Eric Deggans, a media critic for the St. Petersburg Times. He spoke to us from the Poynter Institute in St. Petersburg. Michelle McCollop, a freelance writer based in Beaumont. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.